All right, back for another deep dive with us. You know, we both really dig the spiritual seek, right?
Yeah, always something intriguing over there.
Definitely. And today, we're tackling one of their mini quizzes.
Oh, fun. Which one?
This one caught my eye, all about spiritual drugs.
Ooh, interesting. Think we can ace it.
I'm feeling pretty confident, but let's find out. Ready to jump in?
Absolutely. Hit me with it.
All right, question one. What powerful psychedelic substance is contained in Psychotriavoides leaves, a key ingredient in ayahuasca?
Okay, okay.
The options are mescaline, DMT, or psilocybin. What do you think?
I think I'm going to go with DMT.
DMT, you say. And why is that?
Well, Psychotriavoides is this plant.
Right, found in the Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like essential for making ayahuasca, that traditional brew, you know, used in ceremonies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason it's so powerful is because of the DMT. It's a really potent psychedelic.
Intense, right? Like, yeah. Seriously intense.
Yeah, it can create some, like, wild visuals and auditory hallucinations. Some people say it's like being transported to another dimension.
I've heard the stories. Yeah. So what's actually happening in our brains when we're on DMT?
Yeah.
Sounds like it's, like, rewiring things in there.
Well, maybe not rewiring exactly, but definitely disrupting things, that's for sure. It's classified as a serotonergic hallucinogen.
Okay, break that down for me. Serotonergic what?
Basically, it means it messes with the serotonin system in your brain.
Ah, serotonin, the mood regulator.
Exactly. It's a neurotransmitter, one of those chemical messengers, and it plays a huge role in mood, sleep, how we perceive the world. DMT kind of throws a wrench in that system.
Ah, I see. So it's hijacking the serotonin system.
Pretty much. It specifically targets this receptor called the 5-HT2A receptor, which is thought to be like the main player in those vivid hallucinations and that feeling of being, you know, transported to another reality. So trippy. It's amazing how these substances can create such huge shifts in our consciousness just by interacting with these tiny little receptors in our brains. Wild. All right, ready for question two?
Bet me.
Here we go. Which Swiss chemist is credited with first synthesizing LSD in 1938?
Ooh, good one.
The options are Timothy Leary, Albert Hofmann, or Richard Alpert. I feel like these names are, like, swirling around in my head from, like, Psych 101 or something.
Well, this is a classic. It's Albert Hofmann.
Hofmann, right?
And, you know, there's a great story behind his discovery.
Oh, a story. I'm always down for a good story, especially one that involves, like, accidental psychedelic trips.
So picture this. It's 1943. Hofmann's in the lab working with these compounds called ergot alkaloids.
Ergot alkaloids, okay.
They're derived from a type of fungus. They've got a long history in medicine, but they can also be pretty toxic.
Gotcha.
Anyway, Hofmann's working away, and he accidentally absorbs a small amount of LSD through his skin.
Whoops.
And boom, he ends up having the first documented LSD experience, totally by accident. What a way to discover a new drug, can you imagine? So he was researching these ergot alkaloids. What else are those used for, by the way?
Well, like I said, they have some medicinal uses. Like, they've been used to treat migraines and even help stop bleeding after childbirth, believe it or not.
Wow, I did not know that.
But they've also been linked to some pretty strange historical events, too.
Like what?
Well, there's this theory that ergot poisoning might have played a role in the Salem witch trials.
No way. Because of the, like, hallucinogenic effects?
Exactly. It kind of makes you wonder, right?
Totally. Those ergot alkaloids sound like they have a whole story of their own, honestly.
They really do.
Okay, let's move on to question three. What is the common name for the psychoactive cactus, Lophophora williamsi, used in Native American church ceremonies?
Ooh, bringing in the cacti now.
Right. Is it San Pedro peyote or ayahuasca? I'm pretty sure peyote is a thing.
You are absolutely right. It is peyote.
Nailed it.
This little cactus is pretty remarkable. It contains mescaline.
Ah, another one of those naturally occurring psychedelic compounds.
You got it. And it has a super long and sacred history in indigenous rituals in North America, going back centuries.
It's incredible, right? I mean, this quiz isn't just about, like, knowing the names of these substances. It's about understanding their cultural and spiritual significance.
Yeah.
It's not about getting high. It's about connecting with something deeper.
Absolutely. And it's worth pointing out that the Native American church still legally uses peyote in their ceremonies today.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that was still the case.
Yeah, it's really important, you know. It highlights how crucial it is to respect the cultural and spiritual significance of these substances.
For sure. They're not just drugs to some groups. They're sacred tools used for healing, connection, spiritual exploration.
Exactly.
All right, on to question four. Which traditional beverage from the South Pacific Islands is made from the root of the Piper methysticum plant?
Ooh, island vibes.
Right. The options are Meret de Coca, Cava, or Sake. Now, I'll admit, I'm drawing blank on this one.
This one might be a little less familiar. The answer is Cava.
Cava. Okay, tell me more. I'm intrigued.
So, Cava is made from the root of this Piper methysticum plant, and it's, like, super important culturally in places like Fiji, Vanuatu, Tonga. It's, like, central to their social and ceremonial occasions.
So it's kind of like their social drink of choice, like how we might have a beer or a glass of wine.
Yeah, you could say that, but there's a key difference. Cava is known for its calming and relaxing effects, not for getting you, like, intoxicated.
Interesting. So more chill vibes than party vibes. Okay, let's see what question 5 asks about this cava drink. What is its primary effect? Hallucinations, relaxation, and reduced anxiety or increased energy and alertness. I'm going to guess relaxation, but I could be way off.
You are right on the money. Cava is all about that relaxation, easing anxiety.
So it's like a natural chill pill, basically. How does that even work? What's the secret ingredient?
It all comes down to these things called cavalactones in the cava. They work their magic by interacting with GABA receptors in your brain.
GABA receptors. Remind me what GABA is again.
GABA, that's another neurotransmitter, and it's basically your brain's chill-out signal.
Ah, right.
It helps regulate anxiety, keeps things calm. And these cavalactones, they enhance GABA's effects. That's why you feel so relaxed after drinking cava.
Wow, nature's anxiety remedy. I'm learning so much about how all these substances work on a chemical level. It's fascinating. Okay, last question. Question 6. What Hindu deity is closely associated with the use of cannabis in spiritual practices?
Ooh, good one.
Right. The options are Vishnu, Shiva, or Brahma. I know cannabis has been used spiritually in different cultures forever, but I'm not sure about this one.
It's a great question. You know, highlights how diverse these cultural connections to, what are they called? Entheogens.
Right? Entheogens, yeah.
Anyway, the answer is Shiva.
Shiva. Okay, tell me more. What's the connection there?
In this context, cannabis is called bhang, and it's believed to help devotees connect with Shiva, especially during festivals like Mahashivaratri.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, it's seen as a way to, like, enhance spiritual experiences, deepen their connection with the divine.
So almost like using the substance to, like, bridge the gap between the physical and the spiritual.
Exactly. It's a really powerful example of how these substances are woven into cultural and religious practices, used to facilitate these spiritual experiences, connect with the sacred. It just really underscores the importance of understanding these substances within their specific cultural context, you know?
Absolutely. Okay, that wraps up the quiz portion of our deep dive, but we've got lots more to unpack. How'd you feel about those questions? Anything surprise you?
You know, I gotta admit, that cava one kind of stumped me. I knew it was a South Pacific drink, but I hadn't really connected it to its relaxing properties before. It's just so cool to see how different cultures have discovered and used these plants for their unique effects.
Me too. It's like a whole world of knowledge just waiting to be uncovered. And speaking of uncovering, remember how the Spiritual Sikh has that little scoring system for this quiz? Mm-hmm. They say if you got 0 to 2 right, it's not your thing. 3 to 4 means you got some experience, and 5 to 6, well, that makes you a true fan.
Uh-huh, right.
But of course, this is all just for fun.
Yeah, for sure. It's not about being an expert or anything.
Exactly. It's about sparking that curiosity.
Totally. And hey, even if you didn't get all of them right, you know, it's a good reminder there's always more to learn.
Always.
This quiz is really just a starting point, right?
For sure.
For exploring this whole world of spiritual drugs, or entheogens, as some people call them.
Yeah, entheogens, right. And speaking of starting points, it's important to remember the Spiritual Sikh, they have a disclaimer with this quiz, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They make it clear that it's for entertainment and sparking curiosity, you know?
Right.
Not a definitive judgment on your knowledge or anything.
Exactly. And even more importantly, it's not like an endorsement.
Right. Oh, absolutely not.
To use any illegal substances.
Right. Definitely not. We always have to be mindful of the legal and ethical considerations. You know?
Oh, for sure. Especially when we're discussing these topics.
It's a really complex landscape, you know?
Yeah.
Varying laws and cultural perspectives and all that.
Right. Right. But that being said, I do think this quiz, you know, it does a great job of, like, opening up this conversation, you know?
For sure.
About the historical and spiritual significance of these substances. What are your thoughts?
I totally agree. It challenges us to, like, look beyond, you know, the modern day stigma and consider how these substances have been used, right?
Yeah.
For centuries in different cultures, seeking connection and healing and insight. Mm. And it prompts us to think critically too, right? About the potential benefits, the risks, acknowledging that there's still a ton of research going on.
Yeah.
Exploring like therapeutic applications for some of these substances.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm actually curious, you know, out of all the substances that we discussed today, is there one that like stands out to you the most? Is there one that like particularly piques your interest?
Ooh, that's a tough one. They're all so unique, you know, in their effects and their cultural significance.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, the story of Albert Hofmann and his accidental LSD discovery, I mean,
it's classic.
It never gets old. It really highlights, you know, just how serendipitous scientific discovery can be.
Right.
And how, you know, sometimes these unexpected events can lead to these really groundbreaking insights. What about you? Which one resonated with you?
Honestly, I'm finding myself drawn to the, like, cultural aspects, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Like the fact that peyote is still legally used by the Native American church.
Right.
And how cannabis plays a role in connecting with Shiva, you know, in Hindu practices.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful reminder that these substances have a long and complex history.
Oh, absolutely.
That goes way beyond just recreational use.
Totally. It's like a whole other layer of understanding.
Right.
Yeah.
I think this deep dive has definitely left me with like more questions than answers. You know,
yeah.
Which is always a good thing.
For sure.
It's ignited that spark of curiosity, you know, to like delve deeper into the history and the cultural significance and all of that. And you know what they say, the more you learn,
the more you realize you don't know.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, before we wrap up, I've got one final like thought-provoking question to leave you with, something to ponder as you, you know, continue your own exploration of this fascinating topic. Ready?
Bring it on. I'm all ears.
Do you think these substances have a legitimate place in spiritual practices in the modern world?
Whoa, that's a big one. There's no easy answer to that, right? It's definitely a question that deserves a lot of careful consideration, weighing the historical and cultural significance against, you know, contemporary concerns.
Yeah.
Considering the individual and societal implications. What are your initial thoughts?
Honestly, I'm still kind of wrestling with it myself. You know,
yeah.
On one hand, you've got this growing body of research.
Right.
Exploring the potential therapeutic benefits of some of these substances, particularly for like mental health issues.
Right.
And you can't deny the historical and cultural significance,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
They hold for so many communities around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, you know, there are legitimate concerns about safety and regulation and, you know, the potential for misuse.
Yeah.
It's a complex issue. There are no easy answers.
For sure.
And it's a conversation, honestly, I think we need to be having more openly and honestly.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a conversation that requires, you know, nuance and respect for those diverse perspectives.
Yeah.
We need to be willing to learn from the past, consider the scientific evidence, and engage in, you know, thoughtful dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
To navigate this landscape responsibly. And
yeah.
Ultimately, each individual has to decide, right? What role, if any, these substances might play in their own lives, in their spiritual journeys.
Well said.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of the deep dive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about sparking those conversations, encouraging that critical thinking, you know,
mm-hmm.
and empowering you to explore these topics with an open mind.
Absolutely.
And a sense of curiosity.
For sure.
So keep those questions coming, keep exploring, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.
Happy exploring.